to our church and to the Lord's work of our church a portion of his blessings to us in the reception of this morning's tithes and offerings. Your brother Lloyd and the ushers would come forward at the conclusion as we sing number 361. Since Ron's another year older tomorrow, he may not be able to lift it either. go ahead and slide a couple of 50s in it, and we'll be just as happy as if it was full of work. So just in deference to our ushers and our sound man back there, you may want to consider that. consider that a shameless piece of self-promotion. As we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, there's a sense of joy amongst the house. There's a happiness this morning. And God's people should be happy. But you know, happy is an emotion. It's a temporary emotion. We can be happy, we can be sad, we can be angry. There's a variety of emotions we go through. The Bible doesn't promise us that we'll be happy all the time. What Jesus promised us was that we would have peace and an inner joy that passes all understanding. Those are completely different than the short-term emotion of happiness or sadness or any of the other things that we experience. And so this morning we encourage you with peace and with joy in your heart to approach the throne. If you are going through a valley this morning, you can share that valley with the Lord. If you are on the mountaintop and rejoicing for prayers answered, you can share that joy with the Lord. Whatever is on your heart this morning, let us gather around the altar in prayer. This morning's call to prayer will be a two-song medley. We'll ask you to go to number 448 first, just a closer walk with thee. We will sing that through its entirety, and then we will transition over to number 456. Precious Lord, take my hand. Kathy will give us a key change. The choir will come down as we begin to sing, Precious Lord, take my hand, and we will ask you to stand at the beginning of that song as well. As we sing and gather around for prayer, number 448, moving to number 456.
Oh, friends like to talk to you today? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing today? Do y'all have any superheroes? Who's your superhero? Superheroes. God's your superhero. He's mine too. What makes your superhero? God. Oh, he's like, I'm gonna go with that. When I was growing up, my superhero was Superman. Anybody like Superman? I never could figure out though why people were so feeble when he put on glasses they couldn't tell who he was. He put on glasses and took off that cape and nobody could figure out who he was. And I like Batman, too. Batman put on a mask. And they put on a mask to hide their identity.
Oh, I love Batman.
Oh, you like Batman? Well, see, the Bible that we're going to study today, Moses puts on a mask. He puts on a veil. And he does that not to hide his identity, but because the people are scared of what they see in his face. And he wants the people to listen to him, so he covers his face. You know, I guess my superhero once I got saved was Jesus Christ. Because he loved me so much that he gave himself for me. And then he rose again. He defeated death. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, Superman died. Did y'all know Superman died? He did die. He got killed. And later on, they tried to bring him back to life, but he just wasn't the same. But Jesus Christ, when he got killed, he came back to life on his own.
Amen.
And he lives, and he ever lives with us. And the Bible says if we believe on him, that he'll strengthen us and help us to go through life. That's what I like best about Jesus. He loves us very much.
Amen.
He said, I'll give you strength. So I pray one day y'all will just give your life to Jesus. I know you probably have. I mean, you're thinking about it. But I pray you'll give your life to Jesus. Father, I thank you for these young men. I thank you for those that brought them here. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to continue to hear about you. And that when the time comes, that they'll give their lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, would y'all like the color?
Yes.
That's a cross. That's a cross that Jesus died on. That's what that symbolizes. Thank you for coming. If y'all would, turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. God is so good.
All the time.
God is good.
I'm glad you're here today. Glad you made it today. I'm glad you came. I pray that God will speak to your hearts. If you would, open up your bulletin, look at the inside right-hand cover. We're going to be reading together out of Exodus 34, verses 28 through 30. We're going to stay in chapter 34 today. But if you would, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. Let's read together Exodus 34, 28 through 30. And Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did eat neither bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mountain, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. May God bless the reading and preaching of his word. You may be seated. It is so good to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, Moses went up into the mountain, and the Bible says a fantastic thing there. I don't think we grasped what we read right then, because if we did, we'd be amazed at it. For 40 days and 40 nights, he ate absolutely nothing and drank absolutely nothing. He had no water, he had no liquid, and he's on a mountaintop. You know, I've been on mountaintops, and they're dry, arid places. trees don't grow on mountaintops. So he's been 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the longest a person can live without food, I've gone up to 40 days in a fast without food. We can do that, especially as Americans, because most of us, and I'm going to whisper this, are fat.
Amen.
Amen. And 40 days for us is not bad, because most of us, like turtles, we got stored energy. So that's not a problem. I remember one time, though, I decided I was going to do an extreme fast, and me and two or three Christians decided we'd do an absolute shutdown fast. No water, no nothing. We're going to see how long we can do it. I made it to the third day. When I laid down, I was dreaming about water. Water looked good to me. I would rather have water than an ice cream cone. That last day, that 72 hours, when that 72nd hour hit, it was all I could do not to charge the water faucet. And whenever I did that, my friends, they told me, they said, now don't drink a whole lot or you'll get sick. And it's true. I had to take this little tiny slivers of ice and put it on my tongue. And it was so good. I've never felt so good in my life. You know, a human dies in about 7 or 8 days. Your body begins to dehydrate. You build up poisons in your system. And if after about 14 days, if you don't have a water, you're going to be dead. But Moses was 40 days and 40 nights without water and without food. Not only that, he was strong enough to come down the mountain with two tablets of stone in his hands. He was not diminished in strength. You know what that shows us? That shows us that what we really need is we need God in our lives.
Amen.
We need the presence of God in our life. Now, as Moses came down that mountain, there was something that's interesting that I talked with the children about this morning. We were talking about masks. But the Bible tells us, if you look in your Bible, verses 32 through 35, that Moses, when he came down the mountain, the Bible tells us that the people were scared of him. And the reason they were scared of him is his face was shining. You see, he'd been in the presence of God. Now, Moses wanted the people to hear what he had to say. So he put a veil on his face. He covered his face because the people were too scared to hear. Now you say, well, that's kind of petty. Seems like they would listen to Moses. I can tell you, I've seen a lot of things disturb the attention of an audience. You know, sometimes a baby goes boop and everybody looks that way. I want y'all to look at that beautiful baby right now. Let's just look at her for a minute. She is gorgeous, isn't she? But I'm glad she's here. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad she's here. I've seen an audience follow a wasp. This audience. Follow a wasp. A wasp came in through the door and everybody turned and they looked at it. And they followed it. All the way around, the wasp came over here. I said, the devil must be in that wasp because they're not looking. They're not listening to me. Moses wanted the people to hear what he had to say. So he put a covering on his face. And as he put the covering on his face, he began to tell them the things that God had told them on the mountain. And the reason he told them those things is he wanted them not to be afraid of the shine in his face, but he wanted them to shine too. He wanted them to be blessed. Beloved, we should not be afraid of God in that way. We should want God in our lives so much that we shine for him. That everywhere we go, people look at us and they say, why is it that person shining? Why is it? That person has bad things happen in their life, and yet they're still shining. That person lost a child, and yet that person is still shining. That person lost a loved one, but that person is still shining. We want people to ask that question, why is that person still shining? And I tell you this, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, he says, you are the light of the world. God wants you to shine. He wants you to shine for him. He wants you to magnify him. He wants you to experience his pleasure in your life. He wants you to be so close to him that when people see you, they see you as little lighthouses or pinpoints or candles that everybody else sees, and they say, I want some of that. You see, that's the problem in the church today. It's because so few people have the shine that God wants them to have. So we're going to talk about that shine on Moses today. And I'm going to talk about how Moses achieved that shine. First of all, he didn't achieve it through the law. The law did not bring the shine to Moses. That was not what gave him the blessing of God. But what was it? You know, it was because he was obedient to the Lord, because God spoke to him. Look at Exodus 34, verse 1.
It says, and the Lord said unto Moses. First of all, I want you to see that the Lord, that capital L-O-R-D. I can't overemphasize that. This is the great I Am. This is the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. This is the eternal creator, the God who put everything into place. This Lord, this infinite God, he knows Moses by name. And he comes to Moses and speaks to him face to face. Do you know that God wants to speak to you face to face? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. You see, in order to be a recipient of eternal life, you have to first receive the one who gives eternal life. He has to be part of your life. Not just on the sideline there, but part of your life. The Lord said to Moses, he told Moses this, but what did he say to Moses? He said, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I'll write upon these tables the words that were of the first tables which thou breakest. And then Moses said, but Lord, I have no power tools. Y'all aren't reading your Bible right now, are you? Somebody said, I ain't no craftsman's in the Bible. I want you to notice what God told Moses to do. He said, I want you to hew two tablets of stone. Not of wood, not of paper, not run down to the Walmart and get a pack of paper. He said, I want you to hew two tablets of stone. They don't have power tools back in these days. They don't have earth-moving equipment where they go out there and just chunk a piece off. They don't have that stuff where they can do. They don't have fancy saws. You know what Moses has? He has a piece of metal, maybe, and a rock to beat on. And he's got a hard thing to do. God said, I want you to hew it out. That word hew means chip it out. This is painstaking work. And he says, I want you to make it exactly like the first two that you broke. I want it to be the same size. Now, how many pieces of rock do you think Moses chipped on and broke them halfway through? You know, he's getting going good, and he goes, I think this is about right, and then it breaks. You know, this is a tough job that God gave him. But Moses doesn't complain. He doesn't fuss with God. He don't say, God, I can't do it. He takes what God gives him, and he goes out and he hews two tablets of stone. He does what God tells him to do. He does it because he loves the Lord. And the Bible tells us that, look what it says next. The next is 34, verse 4. It says, and Moses hewed two tablets of stone like unto the first. He did this. And then it says, and Moses rose up early in the morning. You know, a lot of people don't have a relationship with God because they won't do the things God tells them to do when God tells them to do it. He said he rose up early in the morning. You know, we procrastinate ourselves to death, don't we? I'm going to read my Bible later. I'm going to go to church later. We wake up in the morning, we look out through the window, we go, it's such a pretty day. I think I'll go to church next week. You know, but Moses rose up early in the morning. You know, God came to another man of faith by the name of Abraham. Y'all remember Abraham? Put your hand up if you know Abraham. Amen. God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, he said, that son you've been wanting all along, that you finally got, that you're playing catch with now that you're over 100 years old. That son that you've been wanting forever, and I finally gave it to you, and you're about 100, well, you're over 100. He said, that son that you loved, he said, I want you to take that son to a mountain that I'm going to tell you about, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want you to kill that boy. Kill that boy. The Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning and he went to do it. You know why he did that? Because he knew God wouldn't break his word. He knew God wouldn't take his promise away. But he was going to do exactly what God told him to do. When we do what God tells us to do, God will bless us with his presence.
Amen.
When we as a church will do what God tells us to do, God will bless his presence. When I as a man do what God tells me to do, God will bless me with his presence. When you as a woman do what God tells you to do, God will bless you with his presence. You'll feel his presence in your life. You'll feel it in your marriage. You'll feel it in your workplace. You'll feel it wherever you go. When you obey God in the little things and you do it willingly, you don't know it. Moses didn't have to set up an alarm. He said, I'm going to get up early in the morning. And he got up and he went up that mountain. And the Bible says, look what it says in verse number 4. He went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him. He did what God told him to do. He obeyed the Lord. Oh, beloved, to obey the Lord is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
To do that, when you obey the Lord, God blesses you. When you obey the Lord in love, God blesses you. When you go out of your way, tell somebody right now you love them. It's good to see them. Just say, I love you. Husbands, look at your wife and say, I love you. That ought not to be hard. When you obey the Lord in love, when you put down the grudges, when you love people whether they deserve it or not. I've had people say, well, I won't love somebody because they don't deserve it. Well, we didn't deserve the love God gave us.
Right.
None of us deserve the cross of Christ.
Amen.
I deserve hell.
Amen.
If I were to wake up in hell one day, which I won't because Jesus promised me I won't.
That's right.
But if I were, that wouldn't be wrong, would it? You see, you and I both deserve hell. On your best day, you can't match the glory of God.
That's right.
On your best day, you fall short of the glory of God. And on your best day, at the very least, everybody in here is a sinner.
Amen.
And everybody in here sinned this week. Don't tell me what you did. Amen. Everybody sinned, but God loved you, and He cared for you, and He continues to care for you. When we obey God in our giving of our time and of our talents, God blesses that.
Amen.
When we go outside of ourselves and we love others, when we do things like this for the baby bottle campaign, people say, well, I forgot. Well, I forgot too. Did y'all notice I got up before the offering this morning? How many of y'all noticed that? Got up and left. Nobody noticed the preacher got up and left. You know why I got up and left? My Bible was in my office. Now, I could have preached out of the pew Bible today. I don't have to have that, but I'm kind of comfortable with my Bible. So I got up, I went, well, I kind of like my Bible. But I'm getting old and forgetful. Are y'all old and forgetful?
Amen.
We are. We get old and forgetful. Some of y'all pointing at your wife. You better stop that. I see if she sees you, you ain't going to have nothing for lunch. Amen? Old and forgetful. But don't forget to do the things that God tells you to do. Don't forget the baby bottle. Don't forget to step outside of yourself in love. Because when you do that, that's when Christ comes to you.
Amen.
You know, Moses was blessed because he did what God called him to do. He got up there, and it says in verse number 5, after Moses did all these things, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Think about that. God came down to Moses and stood with him there. God will come down to you and stand with you there when you're in the hospital room, when you're in the sick place, when you're in the funeral home, when you're in the bad stuff. God will come and stand with you there if you will stand with God and do what God asks you to do. And that's what caused Moses to shine. God came down and He stood with Moses. And as God stood with Moses, I want you to notice what God does. God doesn't start out with the Ten Commandments. The Bible tells us in verse number 6, that the Lord passed before him. It says, and proclaimed himself. And God began to define who he is. First of all, God says in verse 6, he says, the Lord God. Y'all see that word Lord is capitalized again? He said, I am the eternal one. I am the eternal God. But he says, that's not all that I am. He says, I want you to listen to me. He says, I am merciful. God is a merciful God. There is no mistake, no sin, no error, no thing that you cannot do that God will not forgive you for if you'll come to Him. When you come to Him in repentance and you say, Lord, I repent of this, God will bless that. You know, He says He's merciful. And then He says He's gracious. Oh, how gracious God is. He's filled with grace. Jesus Christ went to the cross so that God could bestow His grace on you and on me. He did that for us. And God, he says, I'm full of grace. You know, mercy is God's attribute. That's what He does. But grace is what He bestows on us. You know, even people that don't know the Lord receive grace. Yet right now you're breathing in oxygen that you did not pay for. You're walking on legs that you had no, you didn't make those legs. God gives you your heart, your lungs. He gives you the things that you have. He gives you the things that are around you. We need to be thankful to God for that. First thing every morning we should do is thank the Lord for all the good things he's done. Because Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Y'all say, God is good. He's good all the time. Amen.
Amen.
God is an awesome God. He says he's gracious. And then he says this, he's long-suffering. Oh, I'm so glad God is long-suffering. Because I have the attention span of a gnat. Don't you? I do. We all do. We have the attention span of a gnat. We just won't follow. But God is long-suffering. You know, Moses, when he come down the mountain the first time, the children of Israel were worshiping a golden calf. Well, Moses, when he come down that mountain, he had them tablets of stone in his hand, and he threw them down and broke them. Now, God never told Moses to break the Ten Commandments. He didn't tell him to throw them stones down on the floor. He didn't tell him. He said, you go down to them people because they're worshiping a golden calf. But he didn't tell him to bust them things. You know, Moses failed God when he busted the commandments that first time. We all fail God when we don't do what God tells us to do.
Amen.
We all do. And yet God is a God of second chances. He said, I want you to hew out two more stones just like the first. I want you to make two more, and I'll give you the commandments again. I'm going to do it to you again. Oh, I'm so glad God is long-suffering, aren't you?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. I wish we were as long-suffering as God. We'd have a lot less problems in our marriages. Amen? We'd have a lot less problems in our workplace if we were as long-suffering as God. We'd have a lot less problems in our church Amen. If we were as long-suffering as God. Amen?
Amen.
We like to be long-suffering until it's our turn. Then we're ready to burn the house down. Oh, I thank God that God's long-suffering, aren't you? What a long-suffering, wonderful God. God defines himself. He says, this is who I am. This is what I am. And then he says, look what he says next. He says, I'm abundant in goodness and in truth. He says, I always speak the truth. I love you people. I really do. I love you guys. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I really do.
We love you.
And I appreciate that. I really do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever decide to leave this church, go and find a church where the pastor will speak the truth.
Amen.
Wherever you go, go where the pastor will speak the truth. Because God is abundant in goodness and in truth. When you cover up the truth, or you speak a lie as if it were the truth, God is not in it.
Amen.
Always go for the truth. God said, I speak the truth. You see, truth is always going to bless those that are around you. And when you speak the truth on marriage, then people are blessed by that. When you speak a lie, you just perpetrate a lie. That's all you do. When you speak the truth on what is right, then you bless. But whenever you don't, you curse. You know, the Bible tells us that God loves us and he cares for us and he's abundant in truth. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, he hath not dealt with us according after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those that love him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Amen.
When we hear the truth of God, and we hear that we're sinners, and we come to Jesus Christ repentant, not penitent, but repentant. You say, preacher, what's the difference? Penitent means I'm going to come back and see if I can't pay God back. So many people make that mistake. I'm going to see if I can't pay God back. See, that's what the Catholics teach. God bless them. But you can't work your way to heaven. And there is no purgatory. Did y'all know that? When you die, you lift up your eyes in hell, or you look down from heaven. There is no middle place.
Amen.
Penitence doesn't do it. Repentance does it. When you come to God and you say, I repent, I realize I've sinned against you. God says, then I will cover that for the blood of Christ. I will cover that for my son's sake. And I will atone for it. He says, I'll bring you into my family. And I will love you with an everlasting love. And I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Don't that make you shine?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor right now, shine a little bit. Let them see your face. That's good. Anybody out there scared? scared of that shine. I love that shine, don't you? Jesus says, we're the light of the world. Look, Moses, as he's praying, look what he says in verses 8 and 9. He says, Moses made haste, and he bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped God. He didn't hesitate. He ran to God, and he bowed down, and he worshiped. And then notice his prayer. He says, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord. He didn't say, if I work my way to heaven. He didn't say anything else. He said, if I found grace, Lord. Oh, grace, grace, wonderful grace. Lord, you're a gracious God. If I found grace, look what he says. He says, let my Lord pray thee, I pray thee, go among us. Jesus, I want you in my life. Jesus, I want you walking with me. And he says, look what he says, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. He says, and pardon our iniquity and our sin. He said, God, we are stiff-necked. He included himself in that. Did you notice that? He said, pardon our iniquity. Pardon our sin. That's how you glow for God. You don't treasure your sins. You recognize what God says is sin, and then you turn away from it. You take it to the old rugged cross. You say, Lord, I know you died for my sins. I know I failed you, Lord, but Lord, I repent. And I give it to you. I believe you died for my sins. And I believe you rose to be my Savior. I give my life for you. And that's what makes a shining Christian. Don't you want to be a shining Christian?
Amen.
I want you to be a shining Christian. I want you to be shining people who love the Lord. The Bible says that you are supposed to be that. You know, the Bible says, Matthew, and I started out with this. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, go and be with Jesus.
Amen.
Repent of your sins and let God be in the middle of your life. Let him come down and be with you. And shine for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we love you so much. We pray for your church, wherever she may be, Lord. Oh, what a wonderful church, Lord, that you died for. But Lord God, we have gotten off course in many places. Lord, help us to be focused upon you. Help us to live our lives for you. Lord, let us be obedient. Let us follow you in the hard things, Lord. Lord, you gave Moses a hard task to start with, but he did it. It was not something that he couldn't do. He did it, Lord, because you gave it to him to do. You promised that you would enable him. And, Lord, he did it. He took those huge stones up the mountain. And then, Lord God, he did everything that you told him to do. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would shine in us as you shine in Moses. Let's be a shining church, Lord. Let's be shining in our giving. Let's be shining in our love. Let's be shining, Lord, in all the things that we do. Lord, let shining come from our lips and our hands and our feet. And Lord, help us to be the people you've called us to be. For your glory, Lord, for your majesty, for your honor. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Go with me to number 285.
Thank you.
good to be in God's house today. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that you'll go out and shine for Jesus. Grab a baby bottle as you go out. They're all over the place. If you forget, they're at a fellowship hall. I'm as forgetful as you are, but make sure you take it, fill it up, bring it back. That's a wonderful ministry to do. I'm going to ask our resident grass cutter, and we just wearing him out on the grass. But I'm going to ask my brother Bill, if you will, close us with a word of prayer.